Chapter 6 Brave Men Lost.
Okay, you people, stand by to draw rations and ammo. The battalion's going to reinforce the 7th Marines in the ridges.
We received the unwelcome but inevitable news with fatalistic resignation as we squared away our weapons and gear. Our information had the casualty figure of the 7th Marines rapidly approaching that of the 1st Marines, and our own regimental strength wasn't much better than that of the 7th. All of Peleliu, except the central ridges, was now in our hands. The enemy held out in the Umar Brogul Pocket, an area about 400 yards by 1,200 yards, in the ruggedest, worst part of the ridges. My memory of the remaining events of horror and death and violence amid the Peleliu ridges is as clear and distinct as a long nightmare, where specific events are recalled vividly the next day. I remember clearly the details of certain episodes that occurred before or after certain others, and can verify these with my notes and the historical references, but time and duration have absolutely no meaning in relation to those events from one date to the next. I was well aware of this sensation then. The terrain was so unbelievably rugged, jumbled, and confusing that I rarely knew where we were located. Only the officers had maps, so locations meant nothing in my mind. One ridge looked about like another, was about as rugged, and was defended as heavily as any other. We were usually told the name of this or that coral height or ridge when we attacked. To me, it meant only that we were attacking the same objective where other Marine battalions had been shot up previously. We were resigned to the dismal conclusion that our battalion wasn't going to leave the island until all the Japanese were killed, or we had all been hit. We merely existed from hour to hour, from day to day. Numbed by fear and fatigue, our minds thought only of personal survival. The only glimmer of hope was a million-dollar wound, or for the battle to end soon. As it dragged on and casualties mounted, a sense of despair pervaded us. It seemed that the only escape was to be killed or wounded. The will for self-preservation weakened. Many men I knew became intensely fatalistic. Somehow, though, one never could quite visualize his own death. It was always the next man. But getting wounded did seem inevitable. In a rifle company, it just seemed to be a matter of time. One couldn't hope to continue to escape the law of averages forever.